You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I'm your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. It is Wednesday, and I know you're getting over the hump, so to speak, right? But I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it isn't, I know the kind of brother and sister that you is. You will get it done. You don't procrastinate. You don't put nothing off. You handle your business. I love you for it. We love you for it. It's important. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. On the page, go to the far right, Other Programming, click on that, and you'll see African Perspectives. And then you can click on that, and then there'll be previously recorded programs that are dated and titled, and we appreciate that. Other programming on Time for an Awakening Media. This program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time, and all times are going to give our Eastern. But right after this program on Mondays and Wednesdays, so right after this program today, will be the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3 on Mondays and Wednesdays. The Black People Matrix with Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. Other programs on Mondays is Acres of Diamonds, public affair programming out of Philadelphia from 8 to from 6 to 8, and then from 8 to 9, Let's Buy Black 365. And then right after Let's Buy Black 365, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesday, good program last night, Dr. Rogers. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank will host Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 to 10 on Wednesdays. And then on Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. Relationships with Joy and Troy. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening. That's right, brothers and sisters. It's Time for an Awakening with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, it's not me. It's Sister POC with her program once again, Revive, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then on Sunday evenings, once again, it's Time for an Awakening at 7 p.m. Time for an Awakening. Also, the Warm Valentine program is here Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. Monday through Friday from 10 to 12 a.m. Warm Valentine. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Other announcements here. We Buy Black, WeBuyBlack.com. the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It is WeBuyBlack.com, and you can get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. Also, too, if you're in the Atlanta area, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. They have the laundry detergent. They have razors and batteries and all kinds of stuff, because everything that they sell is produced by us. WeBuyBlack.com. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bamani Tayemba, he took some brothers and sisters to Ghana back in May, and he's prepared to take brothers and sisters to South Africa in November 22nd to December 2nd. And then again in Ghana in the latter part of December, December 24th through January 4th, 2020. So give Brother Bamani a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of the previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of the previous tours, even the ones that just happened in May, go to youtube.com/Bomonti2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located here in the West End in Atlanta. The Shrine of the Black Madonna has everything you need. They have clothing. They have furniture. They have artwork. They have the red, black, and green shoes. They have Kwanzaa kits, you name it. They also have an African Holocaust Museum. And the number to call at the Shrine of the Black Madonna is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. They're open Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7 p.m. and then Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. They also have a history program, Know Thyself, every Saturday, brother. It does an outstanding job every Saturday, open from 1:30 p.m. until 3:30. Brother Olatunji, from 1:30 p.m. to 3:30, at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, Know Thyself. But if you can't make it, but you like that information, they also have a multimedia library that you can get. It is over, brothers and sisters, over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. Brothers and sisters, it is 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment at your disposal at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Bookstore, another bookstore, aside from the Shrine, is the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, which is right next to the kiosk of We Buy Black. That's right. Right there. The Medu Bookstore. Medu, of course, means writings. The word that goes after Medu is Netcher. The Medu Netcher, the writings of the gods, or what the Greeks called hieroglyphs. And they have an outstanding array of books for you. And if they don't have it, they'll get it. And the number to call is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Another bookstore in Lithonia, my good brother, Kazimde Ajamu, at Black Dog Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. He also has the red, black, and green shoes and a lot of other things. And he, too, will order the books if he doesn't have them that you need. That's right. There's light in the black dot. So check him out. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Us Lifting Us, we pulled our monies together. That's right. It's a cooperative. They have a Thursday night broadcast. Tomorrow night they have a Thursday night broadcast, the Ulu Thursday night broadcast, Us Lifting Us, at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's on Blog Talk Radio, and the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789 for the Ulu broadcast. And we pulled our monies together, and we created Cafe Ulu here in Atlanta, located on Sylvan Road, 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza. Open Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we have coffee. We have African coffee. We have Cameroon, Tanzanian, Kenya, Ethiopia, where coffee started. We have other varieties, Brazilian, Ugandan. Brother came in with some Angola. Once a person some Angola, because for sure, let's try it all.
is coffee, and that's our niche, I hope. And but you can go online at cafeulu.com and order the coffees, and we'll send them to you. Another thing that we promote at Cafe Ulu is Ambrosia, the drink of the gods, Brother Novak Young. It's a vitality drink, just very quickly, with alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, and chlorophyll, as well as hibiscus, cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina. They have five varieties: original, bite, which is a lot more ginger, cinnamon, gold, and green. All right, Ambrosia. Akabin Institute, we have to support our good brother Baba Baruti and his lovely wife Yah, who have been doing an outstanding job of raising warriors, raising our young men and women to be such, to have dignity, intelligence, and work with our brothers and sisters. We have to support that. Akabin Institute, P.O. Box. You can make a check or money order out to Akabin Institute, then send it to P.O. Box 10786. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. Or you can do PayPal and Cash App. $ Yah, Y-A-A-M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Baba Baruti. Outstanding work. Sister Gabriella Real in Jamaica, She's in Haiti. I had her on the program about a month and a half ago, and the outstanding work she's doing. She's in the rural area in the north and eastern part of the island of Haiti, and her organization is Sanjay-Haiti. She has the children learning. They have a chicken farm and growing on vegetables. She's doing outstanding work. She really is. Go online and check it out. SONJE-AYITI.org. Sanjay-Haiti. Black Talk Radio Network. We're on the Black Talk Radio Network, and the Black Talk Radio Network is the number one American African podcast in the country. That's right, the number one Black Talk Radio Network. Go to blacktalkradionetwork.com and look for Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund and help keep this going, keeping it number one, helping it get better. I'm happy to be on this forum. The Black Talk Radio Network. Exposure to more people. So check it out. Go to btrn.com or spell it out, whatever you have to do. Get there. And right on that front page, you don't have to go anywhere else, really, is the donation button right there, man. So, all right. Inye Say Sim. A calendar of revolutionary daily thoughts. The Inye Say Sim. Today is the 24th, the 23rd, July 23rd. If they come and get your man at night, they will be back in the morning for your women, an African proverb. The steadily increasing incarceration of African girls and women only tells part of a story of the racist institutionalized assault against sisters. In an effort to reproduce its ancient traditions today and give the illusion of correcting for the sexism of its patriarchal, anti-female social and socializing context, European culture has been busy convincing our children that their sex is irrelevant in terms of the behavior they should model. The result of the moves to eradicate gender differences to create a comfortably sexually perverted world for Europeans is a socialized drive amongst girls and women to be boys and men so they can gain the power and privilege almost exclusively associated with being male. In our daughters, this shift is orientation has manifested itself in an increased violent aggressiveness and homosexuality. In our sons, an effeminate homosexuality emerges, changing them from possessing the potential to be the men Western society most fears into powerless males, desperately in need of protection by white men, by Caucasian men. In a strict insidious, sexually charged, hierarchical, arranged society. Our daughters see males as the most valued and powerful individuals in a society where the most extreme aggressors are the most rewarded. And having studied these predatory prey games, they have concluded that they must be given more, must be even more aggressive than those they seek to overtake. Affirm, they will not get our men and women or our sons and daughters. Affirm, they will not get our men and women or our sons or daughters. July 24th, I freed 1,000 of captives. I could have freed thousands more if they knew they were captives. Armenta, Nana Armenta, Harriet Tubman, is still chasing the plantations of the West, scanning, searching for Africans ready for revolution, ready for a liberation that will release them from the captivity and bring them back home. Her spirit is embedded in the many courageous sisters following her incomparable lead, determined to bring their people to freedom at any cost, walking along new found paths carved by old railroad conductors, ways to freedom, which only they were allowed to become familiar. As with their ancestor Armenta, they know friend from foe and fulfill their mission without fear. And verily, the price for this is collecting prices on their heads. But they, like Nana Armenta, are packing just in case. So keep an eye out. Be ever ready, for they only call once. If you're ready, you had better take their hand. Follow their lead quickly and quietly. For these remarkable sisters still have many plantations to work and lead from those Africans who have finally come to recognize that they were enslaved but now want to be free. Affirm, I am the spirit of Armenta. Affirm, I am the spirit of Armenta. The Inye Sesem, the Book of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is going to be a great program today. As I mentioned before, I have a good brother, a good friend who helped develop the Black Conscious Caravan. And this particular thing is outstanding based upon what we talked about and the things I've seen, the information he sent me. And man, he is outstanding. Good brother, good friend, brothers and sisters, Brother Jamani Jabari. Brother, how you doing?
Brother Oshie, Hotep, how are you, sir?
I am doing fine, man. It's great to have you on. It's great to talk about what you guys are going to be doing in the L.A. area, L.A., Long Beach, and Pasadena area with the Black Consciousness Caravan. It's outstanding, man. Great concept, you know, to get more people involved and more people to be exposed in those organizations, and the entertainment and the presentations and the food from various places, man. This is a great thing, brother.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We believe that we need to promote who we are to the world.
And that's, you know, what we should. Yeah, that's what we must.
Yeah, there
do.
Are even many of us in the conscious community who, you know, operate within a very committed area, but in a bubble.
Exactly.
So what we want to do is bring all that together. We want folks to merge. We want everybody to engage. We mm-hmm. want people to see institutions that they have not formally engaged with, and know that that is a safe haven. If you're in that part of town, that is now a safe haven
yeah.
for you. But if
yeah.
we don't expose ourselves, we don't know where our social change agents are.
That's right. That's right. And they're there, and they've been serving the community, some of them, for many years. You know,
absolutely.
But still, people. But this is a great chance and a great opportunity for that exposure to happen and get more publicity, you know, more information out there. I mean, because I seen in the write-up you're talking about people being able to post what's happening online. I'm quite sure you're going to get the newspaper, the Los Angeles, what is that, the Sentinel, isn't it? The L.A. Sentinel?
Oh, yeah, we have, in most major metropolitan areas, we have a number of community circulars and communication outlets that folk don't even know about.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, every opportunity we can take, even when we listen to your great radio station and the excellent programming you do, many people will hear this the first time.
Yeah.
And that's good. And
yeah.
that's good. We want to keep reaching masses.
I'm going to promote this. So for anybody who hears me and anybody who may be, you know, think about being in the L.A. area can contact one of the organizations and hopefully there's a ticket for them so they can experience this. This sounds really exciting.
Yes, we're really looking forward to it, good brother. You know, we've had folks call us from Detroit, people calling from South Carolina saying, you know, how I'm coming in town for this, you know, and vendors, and it's just people to participate.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really looking. We're looking at the energy that we're getting for this right now. It's just what we, you know, had hope for.
And this is going to be August what?
Saturday? August 17th.
August 17th. It is taking
place on Marcus Garvey's birthday.
Right on.
Up mandatory,
you,
brother.
Up you mighty people. You can accomplish what you will.
What you will. This is correct. This is correct. And what a better to do that on than Marcus Garvey's birthday. We found a more appropriate and befitting day for this.
That's beautiful. Yeah, we'll be promoting that. I like for the listening audience to hear your promo because, brother, you did an outstanding job. And I'm quite sure for those brothers and sisters who are online right now and listening, they would agree. I mean, you really lay it out. And so I want to play that right quick, okay? And then we'll get back to the conversation.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we got to get it set up here, y'all. You know how that goes, you know. It's the technology. Okay.
Greetings, family. I'm Jabari Jumani, director of the Afiba Center in Los Angeles. Many have asked me, what is the Black Consciousness Caravan? The Black Consciousness Caravan is a one-day culturally immersive event designed to celebrate the beauty, creativity, and resilience of the African spirit. Here in the year 2019, many recognize that 400 years ago in 1619, kidnapped Africans were forcibly brought to these North American shores. We celebrate the triumph of our ancestors, who against all odds survived and eventually thrived by creating beauty wherever they landed, relying in some cases only on the genetic memory of our DNA. This not only happened in North America, but everywhere in the diaspora, our people were forced during the horrid century of the Atlantic slave trade. Through the inspiration of our African traditions, cultural philosophies, literature, music, musical instruments, and cuisine took new form and developed in every geographic location we inhabited. The Black Consciousness Caravan will showcase the richness of these unique cultural expressions. The caravan is not just about being entertained, but celebrating the global liberation movement and the intellectual achievements of our people in all fields of endeavor. In this inaugural year of what we hope will grow into an annual and even a national event, we will showcase five outstanding community-based institutions we feel are committed to the uplift of the Black community and the promotion of positive African imagery and values. This year's lineup in alphabetical order is the Afiba Center in South Los Angeles, the Al-Kebalan Cultural Center in Pasadena, Crass Unity Center of African Spiritual Science in South Los Angeles, Shades of Africa in Long Beach, and the Emoji Center in Leimert Park. These organizations will host two speakers and one live performance while serving cuisines specific to the ethnic regions they are representing during the six-hour caravan. Each host organization has also selected an African ethnic diasporic theme to honor and operate under during this caravan. The themes embraced by our hosts are as follows. The Afiba Center will represent Jamaica. The Al-Kebalan Cultural Center will represent Senegal. Crash Unity Center will bring us that Afro-Cuban flavor. Shades of Africa will represent the Deep South. And the Emoji Center will represent Belize. During the Black Consciousness Caravan, riders will begin their adventure at the location where their ticket was purchased. There, they will listen to the first speaker while dining on food of that region. They will then be caravanned to the second location, where they will be entertained by a live performance while again exciting their palate with the delicious food of that region. Riders will then be whisked off to their final location in the caravan, where they will listen to their final speaker and enjoy cuisine from that region. Boarding the caravan for a final time, riders will return to their primary location in conclusion of this year's event. Accept this as your personal invitation to join us on the first annual Black Consciousness Caravan.
Outstanding, my brother. That's fantastic.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, right.
And I would urge all of us who are in the listening audience to go on YouTube. And for those who that message might not have been clear for, we want you to get your own personal message. Go to YouTube and look up the Black Consciousness Caravan.
Okay.
And you will get it free, clear, unabridged, and you'll know exactly what we're trying to do. So, no, it's our pleasure. Every moment of planning this and everyone we've interacted with, it's been totally positive all across the spectrum. We've even had people outside of the African community saying, I want to get on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but you know what we're about. We're about promoting who we are and letting the world see the beauty of what we have created in every area of this world. We were dropped off.
Right on, and that's for sure. And one thing I noticed in the promo, very nice buildings, man. Some very nice venues that you're going to have this at. These organizations have some nice venues.
Yes, sir.
And
yeah, we're proud of each and every one of them, and that's one thing we want to promote as well. As you know, in every major metropolitan area, we have very conscious and committed individuals who are doing work in their own state.
Right.
And we commend all of them for keeping that fire burning for justice. You know, when it comes to, when you step out and say, we want to take a stand for conscious African thought practice, you know, we stand with you.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes these people are standing alone in the enclave and don't know that they have a support system outside of them. So from an organizational standpoint, we are all encouraging all of the organizations to network with one another.
That's
what often happens is we have patrons who go to that one center, and they don't go to these other centers. And some of them, they don't even know about these other centers.
Exactly.
Some of them are 20 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
So we are taking people and infusing them into another environment where they can see the beauty and purposefulness of that environment, and taking them to another one. And people, all of their responses are the same. Man, I didn't even know this place existed.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, I mean, they're really beautiful places, man, and they all offer the community different things. But
absolutely.
What's the distance between Pasadena and Long Beach? That's got to be probably the longest distance, because it looks like L.A. is, like, stuck in the middle.
That is correct. The distance between those two may be you may end up going 40 miles.
Okay.
But
wow.
On the caravan, you don't have to go that far. We have two different tracks.
Okay.
We have a north track and a south track.
Okay, cool.
And so you're not going to follow, you're not going to go that distance. We're just talking about how far it is, you know, when you look at the whole logistics of it. But you know, you're staying in one track. You may go from the Afiba Center to Shades of Africa to Crash Unity and then back to the Afiba Center. That's all in one workable perimeter.
Okay.
For one day.
Sure.
And then the northern track, which takes you from the Afiba Center. The Afiba Center is the connecting point with both of these routes. You have the A route and the B route. A route we call the Africa route. The B route we call the Black route.
Okay.
So the A route,
you're going to have Jamaica, Senegal, and Cuban, African, or Belize.
Well, the A route, we're going to have Jamaica, then the Deep South, and then we're going to the Afro-Cuban.
Oh, okay.
And then coming right back to Jamaica.
Okay.
The Senegalese is going to be on the B route. Senegal is represented by the Akebalan Cultural Center.
Okay.
And you'll be going from the Afiba Center to Jamaica to Senegal, and then to the Umoja Center, which will be representing Belize, and then back to the Afiba Center.
Okay. So the starting point is the AFIBA Center.
Yeah, for
both tracks.
And I guess that's appropriate because we as taking leadership, you lead from the front.
Right on.
You know, we have to demonstrate to other folks that we are willing to share more of the burden of planning, more of the burden of advertising, more of the burden of tickets. You know, every place is they have seats for 40 people, and those tickets are going. And we are taking the responsibility of 50 people. We're going to sell at least 50 tickets to our patrons. So we believe that you lead from the front, and this being the first annual, we are really looking forward to the energy that will be in the houses on that day.
I say, and I agree. Because, you know, what you sent me is well planned. It really is.
Thank you, and
it's detailed. You know, it's detailed, it's specific. So if you are one of these organizations, you know what you're supposed to do.
No, no question. And you make an excellent point, brother, because we have made a point to visit every center, look everybody in the face, embrace everybody, and let everybody know our phone number is available to you 24/7 as a support, because all of us at different times have different things going on that tax our energy and take us in different directions. That's why we as organizations need to know how to mobilize. We even have to understand how to mobilize, not just the importance of it, but what we should do and how we should reach out to each other, because we are brothers and sisters, not just in rhetoric, but in practice.
Yes.
And we have to be there for each other.
Right on. That's it. And in practice. You know,
a lot of times,
you know how it is, only really in jest or in word. You know,
and you made an excellent point, brother, in the intro to your show. There's a clear difference in being aware and being conscious, as we see it.
Yes.
Everybody's aware, you know, but consciousness begets that you are in some mode of action.
Right.
That's what it is. You have to have some level of commitment to be conscious. You just can't be conscious and say, you know, global white supremacy exists. Okay, brother, well, what are you doing about it? You have to study. You have to be putting some work in. What we try to do is take a concept that a brother in L.A. talked about, giving community service. You know, when you go to, like, say, the Air Force Academy, and you get that free, in quotation mark, education, you're going to have to put 3 years of service in.
That's right.
As a result. So we need people to put 3 years of community service, not mandated by a judicial system for some wrongdoing that took place.
Right.
The fact that you're breathing free air, that the brothers and sisters who fought and died for us to be here, you know, made these blessings available to you. So we look forward to people doing their community service, man, as a right of pride that they do this.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Not coercion.
No, not at all. Because really, when you have that consciousness, you understand your commitment to our people. And if you're given opportunity, you're more than willing to make that happen.
That's right.
You should be. Because if you're not, then don't talk about it. Because you ain't about it.
Yeah, brother. No, I could not have said it better. And this is what I was just trying to convey, that there is a difference between aware and conscious.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows what's going on, you know, but until it hits their doorstep, they're not willing to do anything about it.
Exactly.
The conscious brother or sister is willing to do so that they don't get caught in a vice, so that they make a safe haven for a brother or sister to come to, even intellectually. You know, some people lose their minds because they have no place, no safe haven to go to mentally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this environment is so toxified with some of the music you hear, some of the nonsense. You know,
the
rhetoric you hear.
The music that our young people are listening to is just disgusting, man. I mean,
it's ridiculous, bro.
It really is.
But I tell you what, on August 17th, good brothers and sisters, you will find a place. If you are on the West Coast and in LA, you will find a place where you will find nourishing, enriching, reaffirming, not just entertainment. This is not just about entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
This is about us understanding that we have scholars, that we have individuals who are committed on various levels to bring us wisdom and truths. that we need to know as mm-hmm. part of our daily existence.
Mm-hmm. And we do. We need that, man. It's bad.
But I happen to be, brother, in the fine work. I know you're in Atlanta right now, right, Oshie?
Right.
I happen to be conducting this interview with you, sir, wearing a fine souvenir I have from the African World Festival, which takes place in Milwaukee in 1996. So, for those who are in the listening audience don't know why I'm talking to this brother in Atlanta about Milwaukee. Brother Oshie is one of our pillars of strength from Milwaukee. So I'm feeling you, brother. I didn't plan this. This is just within the universal order that Creator had me put this shirt on to gird up for talking to my Milwaukee brother who's now in Atlanta.
Well, I appreciate that, my brother.
And I say that to say, let's also dismantle the myth that consciousness is not existing everywhere across this country. You know, we tend to think, we set trips sometimes. We say the West Coast versus the East Coast. Or, mm-hmm. No. Consciousness exists in every major metropolitan area of this country and enclave in the world.
Yeah.
So we go to brothers and sisters in West Papua. We go to folks in Madagascar. We go in brothers and sisters in Australia. Mm-hmm. You know, around the world,
and we
have consciousness.
And who's borne that out more than anybody presently today? Renoco. In fact, Renoco is going to be my guest on Friday. He told me to tell you hello. I told him about what you're doing. I sent him the information, you know, because Renoco just got back from Peru. But Renoco Rashidi has documented the African presence around the globe. And he's taken pictures of African individuals who, whether they are Brazilian Africans, Peruvian Africans, Jamaican Africans, Mexican African, whatever. He has taken pictures of people today, and you can still see the features. You can still see the melanation of their skin. He has shown that. He has proven that, you know, wherever we are.
And we are one of the privileged facilities which has had Brother Renoco speak at the Afiba Center on countless occasions. And don't let Renoco know that between you and I, he might even be pulled in on one of these intellectual discussions.
That would be great. And he's
but
in.
Don't let, yeah, don't I'm not let sure. Renoco know.
Yeah, okay, I sure won't.
He won't hear from us. He won't hear from us, right?
Well, he won't. That's right. He won't. He won't. You know, I don't know if I threw a hint up in that mug. I don't.
Hey, it's all good. You know what? Yeah. This is what we call, on any scale, on any level, if this is considered competition, it's clearly healthy competition.
No doubt.
Where you are a winner on the front side of this and on the back side.
Right.
Because
hopefully
we can enrich. And I don't say enlighten because if you keep that, we keep that cloud over the head that about darkening and lightening. But if we can enrich the knowledge base of any of our brothers and sisters,
let's
do that.
I say, and see, what you just stated is that this should be whichever track you go on, B, A or B, whatever center you go to, FIBA, Al Kabilan, Unity Center for African Spirituality, Shades of Africa, or the Umoja Center, what you're going to witness will be what it's supposed to be. You're going to get two presenters. You're going to have live entertainment, and you're going to have food from whatever that center is supposed to be its focus, whether it's Deep South, Belize, Cuban African, Senegalese or Jamaican African, whatever, you're going to get that, and you're going to get a very beautiful and positive experience. Man, I tell you, man, I may not be able to make it this year, but next year, you know, because it sounds so cool. It sounds so great.
We're going to make you part of it on one way or another through the technology we have available to us nowadays. We're going to see that we make you part of this experience.
Oh, well,
that's exactly what we're
going to
do, brother. So you won't even miss out for this year. You just won't be here maybe physically, but you clearly are already here spiritually.
Oh, for
and
sure.
We're going to see that from a conscious standpoint that we're going to make this happen.
Yeah, because to me, and how you have it laid out and what you're presenting really lends itself to a really beautiful spiritual experience, not just entertainment, not just the food, but
not at all.
Really a spiritual experience. You know, on August 17th, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey's born day. The brothers and sisters will experience, the doors will open up at 10:30. There'll be a welcoming, then there'll be a libation, and then there'll be a speaker introduction. And then at the places that where you signed up at the Phoebus Center, they'll start the first presentation. Then after the first presentation and the music and the food, then you board the bus to go to the second location. And then you're there for about an hour or so, 2 hours. And then you board the bus to the third location. And the same thing. You're going to have two speakers. You're going to have live entertainment. You're going to have food and conversation. Then you board the bus and you go back to the original home place and have had an outstanding experience that you can tell friends and family about so they can expand it next year. You know?
Oh, yes, brother. And I've already had folks from different cities. The way this was set up is so this can be expanded to different cities.
Yeah.
Because many of us, if we really think about it, okay, we have 3, 4, 5 different cultural centers who are doing outstanding things
sure.
on their own.
Yeah, especially.
And we don't know, when we really think about it, we can make this happen in every major metropolitan area.
Right, that's what I'm going to say, because in these major metropolitan areas, you may have 3 or 4, 5 centers, you know.
Easy.
You know, and churches that are and churches that are functioning in that kind of way as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Because the black church has held multi facets of importance in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And as you and I both know, and many of us know, those were the enclaves where social change took place.
Sure.
The white power structure felt less threatened by the church environment, so it let
right.
us go in there as long as they thought we were hooting and hollering. You know, but
yeah.
what happened yeah. is when you got a conscious preacher in there and you can see it in their eyes,
uh-huh.
you know, that conscious preacher would, when he got through hooting and hollering, they looked out the windows, they closed the doors, pulled the shutters, shades, and talked about things. That's where you'll find some of the organizing took place then mm-hmm. for the Montgomery bus boycott
sure.
in 1955.
Selma. I went to Selma's 50.
Right.
I went to Selma's 50th
that's
anniversary back in 15, and
that's right.
and of course you had to go into Brown's Church because that's where everything started.
There you
Brown's
go.
Brown's Church. S-E-L-T, everything started right
the
there.
Urban League.
Exactly.
That's right.
And you know, and in that of, fact, that, in that day, Mark Morial, who was
yes,
now with the Urban League, he spoke. Of course, Whitney Young at that time was with the Urban League, and they were preparing to march down the street, down and over the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And what was man? This is ironic. So I'm down there at the bottom of the bridge, you know, where the brothers and sisters got that beat down. Coming down the bridge is Rance Priebus, who was in Wisconsin. He was a Republican leader in Wisconsin. And then, of course, he did such a good job in Wisconsin that Trump made him chief of staff, which didn't last long. But this is, you know, prior to the election, of course. And he's coming down. But, you know, at that time, the irony is, not that he's coming down the street, but that the Supreme Court had already gutted some things with the Voting Rights Act, this present Supreme Court,
yep.
this Roberts Court. So anyway, he's coming down the street and he has some young folks. He had 3 young folks, a brother and a sister and a Caucasian, you know. And I was on a radio program with him back in Milwaukee, you know, many, many years ago. So I know he don't know me and don't have, you know, definitely don't probably remember that. So, which is cool. I don't give a damn. And so as he was coming down, I said, Rance Priebus. And of course he was shocked that, you know, I would say something, a brother who would know that, you know, who would know me, Rance Priebus. And then I said to him, I said, you know what? This is very disingenuous of you to be here with you and your party. And I looked at those brothers and sisters and let them know, you know, yeah, you might be young conservatives or young, but this is what you're involved in. This is
that's
what
right.
you're supporting, you know? I said, man, get out of here, you know?
Well, brother, hope you sparked in those unwitting young vessels that they would go back and do some homework on this man.
Yeah.
Don't allow yourself to be used for a photo op to make black folks think that you are about something progressive.
Yeah.
But I guess we can say one thing. He is no longer with the Trump administration, which might say something for him not fulfilling all of the devil's requirements. I'm just going to say that, brother. I mean, I'm going to assume that if he was a true villain on Batman or Superman, he'd have still been right there with Lex Luthor.
Yeah. Well, let me say this. I thought it was inept anyway. So probably that's the deal on that. While he's no longer chief of staff. Well, there was a lot of, this administration, there have been more internal BS. There's been more. That's why, to me, it's ludicrous to say that this man is not guilty from all the things that has been stated, that whole thing that they're going through right now with Mueller. That here, everybody around him has been, indicted, and many have been convicted, and yet nothing. You say there's nothing? Stop it.
And let's just ask ourselves a question. If Michael Cohen can go to prison for charges they have found him guilty of, and they clearly have found that as the attorney, he did this at the behest.
That's right.
Of the person he was working for.
That's right.
Now sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania.
Duh.
Well, come on. I mean, let's ask yourself a question. If it's wrong for him, it's wrong for the president.
Guilty is as guilty as it is. I mean, the stuff he said, I kind of blew up the other day discussing this, because when you look at all of this, how this man has been, I know of Donald Trump from years ago and the things he said and his arrogance when he's on TV. And then I've never liked him. Never. And then, of course, the Central Park Five. Remember that distinctly.
It's no question. He probably still wishes those brothers got put to death.
Yes, he does. And he stated it.
Yes.
He stated it as a president of the United States. He stated it. I still feel they were not they're not guilty, you know.
So, and what he's really saying is it doesn't matter if they're guilty or not.
Exactly.
They are expendable, worthless individuals of color.
Right. They deserve execution, you know.
Oftentimes it's not the bully on the schoolyard who is the issue. It's the idiots who are following the bully.
And there's a lot of idiots and a lot of us.
There's a lot of idiots.
But let me just say that, to me, if they reelect Donald Trump. Now, I feel that this society is messed up, but it would be more of an indictment and more of an effed up if he wins reelection. That's crazy. Because what you're saying is that mindset and the direction he's going, you know, I don't give a damn about what he says about the best economy this country has ever had. That's bull. I don't give a damn what he says about employment. Well, there's more, the black unemployment. You know, in fact, your employment is so good, the only time you had full employment was when you were in slavery. So this is the next thing best to slavery to you with the unemployment numbers you're having here, which is BS.
Of course.
You know, so all of this, and this man is a constant, perpetual liar. That, to me,
he can't help himself.
He really can't. Just like what was shown at that last rally he had, they had somebody from one organization, PolitiFact or whoever, constantly showing where this man is lying. Well, you know what, brother? I really don't talk about that man a lot of times. I really don't. I focus in on what we as African people must do on the continent, throughout the diaspora, and particularly here, in terms of, you know, getting our minds right, because we are at war for the minds of our people, and this program is dedicated.
No question.
Yes,
and I follow suit with you, sir. We have to We have to exercise those muscles, those intellectual muscles that allow us to, in any given environment, be able to defend our position. So we can't ignore these demons and what they've done. And when you ever you hear this administration talk about, you know, the numbers of blacks being employed now, well, what generally follows that, if a person had anything to do with it, is what program they implemented that bettered that community. You never hear that said.
That's
because
right.
He's riding off of a wave that happened during the Obama administration. And we always have to have critiques of every administration, and the Obama administration is not exempt from that.
No.
But what happens is it was a steady incline, a steady increase mm-hmm. in the jobs numbers from that administration. Mm-hmm. And so he's riding off of that. But I do like what I hear you implied in your last comment. We don't spend an inordinate amount of time talking about some of these imbeciles because they're distractionary.
Right.
We spend the bulk of our time worrying about what we need to do. As I've heard Dr. Karanga say, the white man may be responsible for our enslavement, but we are ultimately responsible
that's
for
right.
our liberation.
That's
and
right.
that's why we have the Black Consciousness Caravan that we mm-hmm. have created and promote, because it's about us seeing us in prominent positions.
That's right.
Us seeing us. When I say us, I mean Black folk, Africans throughout the diaspora,
right.
looking at what we have done to liberate ourselves and are remaining in that state. So that's what we are concentrating on, like you are with your radio show. We're not going to sit here and complain and bemoan a lot of this nonsense. We're going to be aware of it, and we're going to intellectually and physically prepare ourselves to fight against it. We can't pray ourselves out of this.
No, situation. We cannot.
And those who think we can are fooling themselves, and I think that they understand that, too. That's just a coward's way of saying, I don't want to roll up my sleeve.
Right. Well, they're naive. Yeah. They're naive, and it's a pathological denial of reality and history when you're dealing with these folks. So it's very important what you guys are going to be doing on Marcus Garvey's birthday is a beautiful thing, because it allows individuals who are part of that to experience some different parts of African diaspora in a beautiful setting with beautiful people, good information. So like I'm saying, it's going to be a really beautiful spiritual event, man.
It really is. And mm-hmm. and we are in the middle of planning, programming, and networking right now. So I'm going to have to bid adieu to your wonderful host.
Okay.
You as a wonderful host and your public that you're talking to. So, but I would like to, if possible, give some little contact information.
Sure,
please. A little contact information for our people.
Please.
First of all, for this event, go to YouTube for everyone in the conscious listening audience and look up the Black Consciousness Caravan. And at the AFIBA Center, being an organizing body for that, if you're in the Los Angeles area, come and visit us. We are at 5730 Crenshaw Boulevard in the heart of South Los Angeles. We can be reached telephonically at area code 323-292-5550. And by email, you can reach us on
AFIBA. Give us that phone number again, right, Kip, before you give us the email address.
The phone number is area code 323-292-5550.
Okay.
You can also reach out to us via email at AFIBA, AFIBA _ center, CENTER @hotmail.com. And of course, you can check us out on Facebook. That Facebook is AFIBA Center, Los Angeles.
AFIBA Center, Los Angeles.
Yes.
Okay, on Facebook.
Thank you, Brother Oshie. It is wonderful. Well, always being able to connect with you. It's refreshing, brother. It's like after a workout, brother. You feel as though you did something. You feel your muscles jumping again.
What I like to do is...
Vibration is in the air.
I'm going to promote this. I'm going to encourage this. I'm going to speak on it. Until the event happens.
We're going to be back on it. If we're allowed, we will be back on the air with you. It's about a month from
right.
now, a little less than a month.
Exactly.
Now. If we are allowed to, we would like to have a representative, if not myself, come back on the air and talk to you again.
Prior to or after or both?
Prior to, brother.
Okay.
After, and you might look up and get something live going from here.
Hey, I love it.
Yeah. But we do hope to be back on
okay.
once again. For those who couldn't hear today, Hopefully sure. they'll hear our next
and also
prior
too, then
to
we'll
the
really pump it up
place.
Too. We'll really pump it up on Facebook, on any other social media. I don't have Twitter. I'm sorry. I'm old school, really.
I don't know how to do it either,
yeah,
brother. But,
yeah.
And in fact, a lot of volunteers, we rely on a lot of volunteer assistance with
right.
some of the outreach we use. So we're playing catch up. Some of us are dinosaurs, but our heart is in the right place.
Yep. You know it. My dear brother,
right,
thank you
man.
Once again, Brother Jabari Jumaane of the FIBA Center and the creation of the first annual Black Consciousness Caravan in Los
and
Angeles.
And we have been doing it at the FIBA Center for 20 years now.
Oh, beautiful,
and,
man.
And we are entering our next decade. So stay strong, black man, and we will talk soon.
All right. Peace to you.
Hotep.
Hotep. All right, dear brother. Brother Jumaane Jabari, really thank him. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to have some more discussion about this and other things that are happening. You stay right here with us. This is African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media. Part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still lights of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Peace. My name is Professor X the Overseer. And what you're about to witness is the messenger group X-Clan. Here's the nine. the movement Black Watch. And when we're not outraged about the oppression upon the black existence, we step to you in blackness. By the way,
exist in a state of vainglorious as we are protected by the red, the black, and the green. Heed the words of the brother, Sissy.
Let us the words, words to phrase, to paragraph. Heed math as Jay begins class. Science of past is now brought to the rhyme fix. From the scroll, state to the verse. God to God, so God's to man. Many kings, many leaders, a fist from a hand. They call me militant, now what does this mean? Do I carry a gun to make the army scene? Put the cause and never pause, that simply is the brother. Raise the flag, wave the colors. Red, black, green with the key, the difference. Words make a way in the world in an instant. Living to die and I die to live again. 36 degrees. Comprehend. A man getting stronger till he's man no longer. Unearthly state makes the time seem shorter. The ever radiant awareness brought forth the one. Open eye, stroke shun. Practicing priests, standing by what I teach. So you all stand starving as I start to leave. Words of love. Genesis will exist till Armageddon is a witness. The originals built the earth. What must it be aggression to learn a basic lesson? Quite majestic, stern within reality. A juggernaut when you tamper with mentality. A river crown, extension and dimension of a brain cell. Bringing hell to the spellouts. The ever tangled web we weave. Always trying to obtain, no attempt to achieve. Defenders of kings and queens act like justice. Never potential, quarter of the measure. Jealousy of what are we? Becomes tendency for their thievery. Alright, cool. But no need to pull the tokens as a fool. I get my words like that in my stool. To produce the words that they fool about. It's another way of taking out these sissies. Who may try to extinct my principality. But of course I'm not having any madness. From beginning, I'm the end. Observe me. Ignorance is not a trend. So as I beckon, for a few seconds, pull the reins and keep the words on the record. Mastering words on the verse. Funk is a force I jerk. Egyptian, African, now I'm on a black watch. Check my sundial, synchronize a clock. I can catch a shadow as the moon reflects the sun. Creator's eyes make a path of brother one. So now I walk softly and carry a big stick, a bird stick, so you natives will elect. Jay brings the funk and spreads jam to the wheat bread. And the funk of this one vainglorious, unearthly resistance, strong with persistence. Grand verbal allocations, tribal connection, pyramids, witness the funk bearer. Vibe sharer, not the error. Brother is balanced like the scales of Thor. And even my demand makes stone seem soft. Corrupts all systems, positive poison of me. Some call it onk, it's a key. Black is a color while blackness, state of a mind state. But how many of you think? Today, Brother Jay can find a better way, so be it. Plant it down and make it stay, I serve a purpose. Yet I'm not the G.I. Joe, I am the brother. Yo, I could never swear for, so just hasten your step to the mic and stage area. As I drop the science that breaks the clock barrier. Words of old make me more than a beginner. The key opens knowledge and places in the tenor. Americana man, Africana brother. Don't forget the land, cause the birth is from the mother. A vibe is in place, obtained and discovered. Tune in your audio and hear the words of brother.
Yo, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, step off.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives. We're here on the Motherland Media Network, timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Following our program, every Monday and Wednesday, the Black People Matrix, Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. Programs on Monday, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. And then right after that, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Right after that, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9 from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank will host Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. And then on Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. on Thursdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Friday. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening. Also remember, Monday through Friday, Warren Ballantyne Show. Monday through Friday, Warren Ballantyne Show, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. to 12. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I want to thank my good brother, Brother Jabari Jumaane, and for spending that time hipping us to what they're going to be doing in Los Angeles. Believe me, if you can, go on to YouTube, the Black Consciousness Caravan, and check it out. Go on. Yeah, believe me, brother, they're about to do some exciting things. And it's, well, hopefully it'll be, it looks well organized based on how it's laid out, but let's hope it'll be well attended. And he said, they are people calling and they're people getting, all you got to do is get on the bus, go from one place to the next, enjoy the atmosphere, enjoy the speakers and presentations, and enjoy the food, the music, get back on the bus, do it again, then get back on the bus to where you started. And a beautiful experience you have had, a beautiful experience you have had. He has it all laid out. So I want to thank him for doing what he always does, and that is service to the community. I remember a number of things. He used to have a garden. They would provide fruits and vegetables to the community. So that's the kind of brother he is. He's always doing something to make a positive impact. Since I have the time, probably want to once again finish up what I tried to do the other day. You know, there's so much that I always want to bring to you. And what I wanted to do was talk about the income inequality that is in the world. And I know right now, as I said earlier about the Mueller report, and Mueller is in Congress before the Democrat, excuse me, before Congress, not the Senate, before Congress, and talking about the Mueller report. And of course, they laid out some restrictions that he has. You know, this is a joke. This whole damn thing is a joke. But brothers and sisters, it's been a joke. It's been a damn joke. And we should stop laughing because it ain't funny. What this government has had from its inception has had a very deep and profound and ugly impact on us. Oh, I know there's some of us who want to blame ourselves for this condition. You don't want to blame and put the blame where it squarely belongs, of how we treat each other and how we hate each other. That one, the Inyesay Sinful yesterday talk about how the society pushes homosexuality, promotes homosexuality, and particularly amongst our sisters and brothers, the effeminization of our men, the masculinization of our women, and the divisions that it causes, and the strife that we have. The most important thing that we as African men and women should and must do, and that is come together. We need each other. We need to unite. Brothers and sisters, brothers and brothers, sisters and sisters, family, we need to unite. Remember they had that Unify or Die piece? What was that, when Brock ran first time? I don't know when they had this, but I remember it was being publicized. Unify or Die, damn that. Excuse me, Vote or Die. It wasn't Unify or Die, I apologize. That's what I'm talking about, Unify or Die. I ain't talking about no damn Vote or Die. I just say all the time, my ancestors didn't die for me so I can vote for the white people, the Caucasian people that killed them. or into a system that we can never change. And boy, we be trying, don't we? Lord knows we be trying. We be begging and pleading. Lord knows we be begging and pleading. I'm torn between two things. I want to get this information out about the European Jews and their new scramble for Africa. And I really can't see it happening because European Jews have been bold with, and so African countries should understand, no, get the hell out. We side with Palestinians. We've seen what you have done on the continent. We've seen the amount of resources you've taken out of the continent, you know. And you've seen what you have tried to do in this country in your efforts to silence any dissent in this country. You mean to say, if I was a legislator, and I think they're saying it to even private citizens, if I would initiate, which I wouldn't do, because I don't give a damn, but I'll talk about them. I ain't initiating no boycott. If you want to boycott Israel, fine, you go ahead. I think I've always boycotted Israel because I can't stand them. But as a private citizen, they're saying to you that you can't boycott Israel. Really? Man, I tell you. And if you do, we'll fine you. And you'll be imprisoned. Really? The influence that the European Jews have is just phenomenal. And I'm saying to us as Africans, we have to resist them. We have to resist that. We cannot allow the European Jews to dictate to Africa. You've already become the world leader in diamonds because of Africa, going into Africa and taking whatever the hell you wanted and how you manipulate and undermine groups. And there's a lot more. There's a lot more things I could say about that. I'm trying to find a piece here. And it looks like, I don't know, it looks like it's not letting me. Because, you know, I could just go on a rant. And it looks like it's not letting me. Let me, what time it is? I can still play something and then come back. Hopefully I would have to rectify this because this is not cool anyway. So let me just go ahead and put something out there and see if I can find a way to, you know. Let's see what we have here. Sounds of Blackness. The drum. Africa to America. We are the drum.
We are the drum.
The rhythm is
Couldn't rectify the problem, so I'm going to have to go ahead and run my mouth as I usually do. But you can help me. Give me a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. In my frustration the other day talking about Trump and how this whole thing happens. And I know people are talking about how shrewd he is and how he's going to play up the four women and use that to his advantage. I'm going to tell you, for me, I wouldn't want no lying, conniving, shyster ass person running the government. I don't. But for those who feel that Trump and how he is and what he does and the things he says, and that you've normalized that, and it's something that somebody could be put into a position to be, you know, a world, quote, world leader, is ignorant and is arrogant. When he was at some meeting with the other European leaders. And he wanted to get up front. So I'm not sure who he pushed out the way, but you could see him visibly pushing this man. Just pushed him out the way and took a position in the front, you know. Because that's what the idea of America is. America is the world leader. And he's taking this to another level in terms of his rhetoric and what he has done. And what's ironic is that he has gravitated to dictators of Putin and Kim and defended them. Yes, he has defended them a number of times. He couldn't get the military parade. So on the 4th of July, he had them bring in some tanks, some other armament, you know. Like I said, to me, there should be no way in hell that this man should have been elected, and there should be no way in hell that he will be reelected with what he does and what he says. I mean, the clincher should have been him talking about women the way he did and things and all the allegations against women. Oh, you know, you jamming up R. Kelly. But the Caucasians, all of them, Harvey Weinstein, all the other ones. Well, Roger Earls is dead. But all the other ones, they ain't in jail. They ain't in prison. They haven't, Bill Cosby and, you know, and R. Kelly. But see, I ain't surprised at that. And I hate the fact that many of our people are surprised at this is what is expected in a system that is in, run by and in control of and for Europeans. This is expected. And I wish we would stop being surprised and mad because the system wasn't fair. It wasn't equitable. There's all kinds of mass contradictions and false equivalents. We get mad. Because, well, this is what happened to them. I mean, when he did something bad, you know, they killed him. But this Caucasian, he did something really bad. Hell, they bought him lunch. Yeah, they might have had him handcuffed, but they didn't rough him up. They didn't beat him down. They didn't shoot him. So I saw that headline a few days ago. You know, when there's an issue with us and police departments, we're more than likely to be shot and killed. But Caucasians, see, I expect that's what's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen that way, I'm not moved by that either. I ain't celebrating a damn thing. The only celebration, just like back in May, I said that the most important celebration or holiday that we should, as a people, globally, should celebrate or commemorate or highlight or give attention to, whatever, is African Liberation Day. African Liberation Day, liberated from the evil mindset of European people, liberated from those who have manipulated and undermined African people for their land and resources, liberated, sovereignty, self-determination. That's what we should celebrate. That's the only one, not Juneteenth, damn Juneteenth. I'm saying that respectfully, if I can't say that respectfully. I told you many times, I said, there have been times I'd like, you know, I ain't celebrating the fact they got 2.5 more years of free labor out of us, that finally the word came down to Galveston, Tennessee, and then now it's Jubilee. We're going to say, hell with that. My contention is, yes, we recognize that it's an important day, but what we are celebrating is not the fact that we were told about the Emancipation Proclamation and we were no longer in physical servitude, but what has since happened is a mental captivity, a mental enslavement that is much more devastating than the physical servitude that we have endured for literally hundreds of years. Excuse me. Excuse me. You know, so no, we ain't celebrating that. What we're talking about, unequivocally, undeniable, without any fear, without any contradiction, is full self-determination, full independence, full liberation, and sovereignty. You ain't to say fool, because if you just say sovereignty, that's what it means. independent of anybody. Nobody outside of us tells us a damn thing. But it's going to be very hard to do, isn't it? I know, brothers and sisters, and it is. It's going to be very hard to do. But what you do is you keep chipping away at it. You keep opening up minds. You keep working with our children. You keep chipping away at it. You do it to the day that you transition and hope and pray that you see some glimmer of hope and light in what you have done, the people you have interacted with, the people you have encouraged to open their hearts and open their minds to the reality of who we must be. Because if we don't, we are doomed. There's no ifs, ands about it, buts about it. As far as I'm concerned, that is a fact. You can argue all you want, and you can think that you can live in a world where there's diminishing resources. You can think you can live in a world where the selfish and greedy Caucasians will not take you out. Brothers and sisters, I say it again. I'd rather struggle in a world of my own choosing. And wherever that is, on the continent, or even in this, in the diaspora, hell, even here in Atlanta. But I know this is not a world of my own choosing. This is not. But I want to struggle in a world of my own choosing than to be a fool in somebody else's dream. This is the Europeans' dream. They made their dream, as they say, manifest destiny. They felt that we must go out and take people's stuff. We must eliminate the people on the island of Tasmania, what they now call Tasmania. I'm not sure what it was called prior to Europeans coming on that island and eliminating those people. Like they did in what they then called Hispaniola. The indigenous people were eradicated. Genocide was put on them. That's why, to me, you know, when people talk about the Holocaust and genocide, you use those words, and most often, because of how the media is, you can debate it or refute it if you want. But if you say those words, you are thinking European Jews. If you say Holocaust, if you say genocide, you don't put genocide on Africans. You don't put genocide on the indigenous people where it belongs because it happened to them. You don't say Holocaust because that's an English word. The European Jew has the word Shoah. But they co-opted the word Holocaust, which lasted a few. I don't give a damn if 6 million or six. I could care less. And I understand that. It was bad if it was six. It is definitely bad if it's 6 million, excuse me. But brothers and sisters, it is even worse if it's 100 million and it lasts for centuries. And now it's devastating because it is mental. I am trying to compare the dysfunction or compare the sad reality of what has happened with anybody, with indigenous people here or anywhere else around the world, or even us on the continent. I'm just making the point that it's terrible. And it's going to get worse. But because this society perpetuates individualism, somebody's just trying to find a comfortable corner, a comfortable niche, in European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. In that corner, they just trying to find a niche. And they fine. I'm fine. I got a good job. Got a nice car. Live in a great neighborhood. Got a Caucasian wife. And I don't know how you want to call them. Half breeds, mixed, mixish. That's right, brothers and sisters. You had Blackish. Then you, in the spinoff from Blackish, the young lady, I believe, she's grownish now. And I don't know where the spinoff comes up for. Must be somebody in their neighborhood who was Caucasian and a sister or brother, whatever. I don't know. And they had mixed kids. So they now have a spinoff and a new show called Mixish. Mixedish. Mixed. And of course, if you are, usually you gravitate to being Caucasian, especially here in America and anywhere else, pretty much so, because even those in an environment that is African, they wish they were Caucasian. How sad. How sick. Mixish. And so they got some jokes and, you know, I don't find trying to displace us and breed us out funny. I don't find a damn thing that Europeans have done funny. I'm like Carter G. Woodson. I've seen many pictures of Carter G. Woodson. Never seen him smile. Because there ain't a damn thing to smile about. When you do to a people what has been done to us, it ain't funny. And the ramifications are much deeper than what we understand today. And they're very hard for us as a people to break. It's very hard to release that vice grip that the European has on our minds. When you understand that tool, once it's been set, you can't pull it. I don't give a damn how strong you are. You can't pull it. But you have to turn that knob at the end of the handle. Turning that knob is an example of infusing yourself with knowledge of self. Now you're able to turn that knob. And the more you infuse yourself with the love of self and the knowledge of self, now you can release the vice grip and see the European for who and what they are. And not that you challenge them, to hell with them, but that now you work with our brothers and sisters to bring, to have us come together. Hey, what's up, Jay?
I thought I was on mute. But listen, right quick. How have you been? How was your day? How's everything go?
Well, listen, Jay, it's been a beautiful day. My good brother Jabari Jumaane out of L.A., L.A. firefighter, he's put together a Black Consciousness Caravan. They have a number of organizations, five organizations that are involved, are centers. And these organizations, they are sponsoring the caravan where brothers and sisters get on a bus and they go from a central point to another center, get off the bus, have a presenter, somebody who speak to them, whatever the issues are, whatever, and then have some entertainment and have some food of that day, whatever that center is going to prepare. They got Senegal, Jamaican, Belize. I mean, all of these places. Man, it's a beautiful concept, and I'm hoping, I really am, I'm hoping that it goes very well and it could be duplicated in other places. Now, logistically, it's going to be tough because you got to get from Los Angeles to Pasadena, then Pasadena to back to Los Angeles and so forth. So, but they haven't, the brother has a well-organized Jay and it sounds fantastic. So I'm hoping that it goes well. And I will talk with him again. I'll get him back on the program. because I love the idea and the concept. It's cool. You know, he has these five, host organizations. The AFIBA Center, that's his organization with black firefighters. And I remember him having a big garden and helping to feed the people in L.A. He's on Crenshaw Boulevard in L.A. And the AFIBA Center, they're going to be presenting Jamaica. So Jamaican food, maybe Jamaican music, presentations. The El Cabalon Cultural Center in Pasadena, they're going to be presenting Senegalese food and so forth. The Crest Unity Center of African Spirituality in Los Angeles on Western Avenue is going to be Cuban food and music and so forth, African. The Shades of Africa, located in Long Beach, they're going to be deep south, you know, soul food and gut bucket music, you know, the blues, maybe, I don't know, but it's all beautiful. And then the Umoja Center, located in L.A., they're going to be presenting Belize and Belizean food and music. So it is a unique concept, and it's all going to take place August 17th, Saturday, August 17th, the day of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey's birthday, you know.
Oh, that's great.
It is. It really is. You know, and I know some places, you know, major cities like yours and here, I'm trying to figure, I know two centers. I'm not aware, and there could be others, but it might even be a church or so forth. But I like the concept, Jay, because, well, number one, you're bringing people together. You know, we need to bring us together, especially in that kind of atmosphere, you know. So, yeah.
Well, you know, anytime we could come together and find brothers and sisters from the continent that want to deal and associate with us is a beautiful thing. Because, you know, unfortunately, a lot of them really don't want to associate with us and deal with us as a people.
Yeah, and that's because we don't want to associate them with them. We've been played. We've been played against each other. You know, we've been lied on. And unfortunately, we've taken that bait and we've behaved in that manner. And it's been very detrimental to us as a people and our ability to advance ourselves and to do anything for ourselves, you know.
Like well, I said, you know, the white man never want to see you in a position to where you could link up with one another, because then it would expose him for the dog that he is.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, there's no doubt. In fact, a brother sent me a piece with Zbigniew Brzezinski. You know, it says, Brzezinski, it's definitely easier to kill than to control a million people. So it's easier to kill in today's world, and there's no doubt about it. It is easier to kill a million people than it is to control a million people. Probably back in the day when there weren't very many outlets, communication outlets, social media and so forth, to control a million people.
Hey, sorry about that, O.C.
That's okay. But
hey, listen, right quick. Do you ever get a chance to watch the Roland Martin show?
No, I don't. I'm not sure where it's on at, but I saw him this past weekend on Sunday with George on ABC.
So, yeah, well, you know, he has this show that he does at 6 o'clock Eastern time on YouTube, a regular thing, man. And I had to laugh at that Negro, man. You know, he liked to dress up in African garb and don't say a damn thing African, man. It just cracks me up, man, when I see the clown, you know, in African wear, and he don't say nothing African. That's like one of the most craziest contradictions you could get from these Negro kings, man. Yeah. It's embarrassing. Well, why are you trying to wear something culturally and you don't have no real love for the culture?
Well,
you don't want to be a part of the culture.
What I hated was when I used to listen to him when he came on TV One, Kathy Hughes Network. And I understand now why they kicked him off. But he kept calling us slaves, you know, the link, you know, just like the saying, Lincoln freed the slaves, the slaves. And I kept saying it. In fact, there's a brother that's Greg Kamathi Carr, Dr. Carr, from.
Yeah, that clown.
Yeah, Howard University. You know, oh, you don't like Greg Carr?
I have real issues with him sometimes. You know, he's one of those wishy washy Negroes who want to integrate into whiteness, but really don't want to put his, you know, his 100% behind it. You know what I mean?
Okay, so, well, I didn't know that about him. I don't know. Uh-huh. I mean, I've known him when he was at Temple University fighting Malefi Asante. You know, I have no.
Well, I mean, that don't mean you know when you get on the front of something, and your whole total perspective changes to assimilate into a culture. That don't mean you for really for African people, and you know that's what he does. You know, I mean, some of his analysis is excellent.
Yeah,
but you can't be wishy washy about who you are culturally and what your position is. And as far as being African, you even want to be an American,
right?
Or you want to be an African?
Well,
you can't be both, bro.
Right? Yeah, and I agree. That's why I love Dr. Asa Hilliard, Nana Bamford, when he said, "To be African, that is the question. To be African, and that's the question we need to ask. Either we're going to be, or we are going to perish. Either we're going to be African.
You want all of the trinkets of whiteness. That's all. Mm. It ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, think about it. He went to school. He got him a PhD. He had a certain level. You know what I mean? He's able to integrate into certain situations and things of that nature. And, you know, he chose to do that. So the bottom line is, you know, just be real about it. Don't one minute be a so-called nationalist and African, and the next you want to be a staunch supporter of the damn NAACP and the Urban League and all that other BS. Nah, man, you know the NAACP and the Urban League are totally against sovereignty. They don't want no sovereignty.
No.
And that's a damn shame.
No.
You know, they just want to be a part of the system, and they want to love the system, and they want to do all those things necessary to just do what it is.
Yeah.
But you can't do that, man. You have to be on focus. And unfortunately, a lot of times our people are not on focus because of the way that this system has done what it's done to us as a people.
No, and right. And it's by design, it's by intent. And our problem is that we think that we can change that. We think that we can influence that. We think we can make that happen
what's
for
the
us
problem?
Better. You know? So, but
there's no apartments open. Okay. Oh no, he left. I do know him. I live right there. I'm saying I'm not the stupid. She said, "Am I?" I'll talk to you later.
Okay, man. Later. Go ahead, man.
I thought you said.
267. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshie, Brother Ralph. How are you doing?
Hey, Brother Ralph. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
I got you.
I just wanted to chime in on this conversation because lately I've been talking to a lot of Africans off the continent, and they don't see things like we do.
Okay.
Say, like the certain community does. They see themselves as different, man.
Okay.
And I'm talking about Nigerians, which I have
them in my bloodline. I have some Canadian in my bloodline. I've done a DNA test. They don't see us like that.
Yeah.
And I got a problem with that. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't want to identify with me, then the hell with you. You know what I mean? So, you know, yeah, maybe we know my roots come from Africa. We know that.
Right.
But they be calling us like terms like cicadas and all this other nonsense, man. And I just want to get your aspect of that because I got a different mindset when it comes to unifying with a people that don't want to unify with you.
Right. Well, I tell you, I think that there, my travels being on the continent, and talking with other Africans, there are some of us that agree with being who we are and respecting those of us in the diaspora. And there's some of us, unfortunately, who think that Africans that who have been in America for so long are something special. In fact, they don't want to be African. We're black.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And of course, we
got to further this conversation, brother, because I know Brother Franklin Jones is coming up. But we got to talk about this, because I even heard one sister say, like, you know, Mary J. Blige is supposed to be dating an African prince. But she said she's seen him, but she had to actually go and look and see if this man was really African, because no African want to date a woman that looks like a prostitute. Now, this came from an African sister that's right off the continent. And I'm like, God damn, that's the way they look at us. I mean, even though some of our women do look like that. You know what I mean?
No, you're right. They dress like that, especially some of the entertainers. They're very provocative. You know?
Yeah, because she was culturally dressed and everything. She went right there. Like, I got to see if this man really African. He could be. So this is how they think, Brother Oshie.
Yeah.
And maybe we need to talk more. Maybe you need to get a guest on there and let's elaborate on it.
Well, let's do that. Let me just see if I can get one of my good African brothers to get on the horn with us and discuss how it is, you know. I know that the people that I have association with and have discussions with, those individuals, men and women, are African-centered. Just like Sister Susumi, right, who's now in Botswana, you know.
Okay.
They believe in one Africa, you know. They believe that Africans on the continent, Africans in the diaspora need to, you know, drop all that superficial bull and come together.
Right.
You know, and that's what needs to happen. But just like you said, there are some Ghanaians, some Nigerians, and others, you know, who look at us because they've been trained to look at us. And believe me, if I'm looking at us, you know, especially what the West presents, I'm looking at us with a side eye.
I mean, we even do that.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly. You know what
I
mean?
So, I understand what you're talking about. But if you could get a guest on so we can discuss these differences, man, maybe that'll help some of us out. You know what I mean?
For sure.
All right, then, Brother Oshie.
All right, thanks a lot,
man, coming on.
Okay.
All right.
Peace to you.
Talk to you later.
We end this program, like in all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope you can be with me on Friday. My guest will be Dr. Renoka Rashidi, just getting back from Peru. We're talking about, besides Brazil, the Africans in South and Central America. So be with us this Friday. Peace, family. BB for Hodio means our victorious destiny. BB for Hodio.